Break out the shovels and snow blowers. Some parts of Wisconsin saw more than 10 inches of snow in the past 24 hours, and more is on the way. It's Thursday, February 23rd. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Groh. Coming up, Sean Johnson reports on record voter turnout in Tuesday's primary election. And Evan Casey has a look at what the Menominee Indian tribe is doing to curb the increase of opioid overdose deaths. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Many areas of Wisconsin are getting hit with another round of snow and ice on Thursday. This comes after blizzard conditions were reported in several parts of the state on Wednesday. The National Weather Service in Green Bay says the heaviest snow in the North Woods could hit early Thursday morning, and much of the state remained under a winter storm warning to start the day. Eau Claire and Wausau were expecting between 8 and 12 inches of snow by noon Thursday. Temperatures across the state were then expected to plummet, with wind chills due back below zero by Friday morning. Now, Governor Tony Evers declared an energy emergency on Wednesday, and more than 45,000 people in the state were still without power as of Thursday morning. Voter turnout in Tuesday's primary election shattered the previous record for an officially nonpartisan Wisconsin Supreme Court race. As Sean Johnson reports, it favored the candidates backed by Democrats by a wide margin.
Judges Janet Protasiewicz and Everett Mitchell, the candidates backed by Democrats, received a combined 54% of the vote in Tuesday's primary. The candidates backed by Republicans, former Justice Dan Kelly and Judge Jennifer Doro, received just 46%. Marquette University pollster Charles Franklin says that's significant in a state where close elections are the norm, but he cautioned against reading too much into it ahead of the general election.
It's a new race in April. It'll be new in turnout, though I think it'll go up everywhere, and it'll be new in the sense of pitting these two candidates directly against each other.
That contest will feature Protasiewicz and Kelly in a race that could flip the ideological balance of the court. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration's proposed guidance for labeling plant-based milk alternatives is sparking mixed reactions among the dairy industry. In the draft released Wednesday, the FDA said plant-based products can continue to use the word milk as part of their labeling, saying terms like soy milk and almond milk are widely used. But the FDA also said there is consumer confusion about the nutritional content of plant-based alternatives. The agency called for these products to state on their labels if they have less calcium, vitamin D, or other nutrients than milk. Michael Bickham from Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative applauded the new recommendation.
That has been a huge issue for us as a dairy industry because, you know, folks do buy these alternatives because they think they are more nutritious for some reason or another.
Some plant-based food advocates called the new requirement unfairly burdensome and said they plan to challenge the draft guidance. The FDA is taking comments on the draft until April 24th. A conservative member of the Natural Resources Board wants to see the state spend enough money to maintain habitats and public lands. Danielle Kading reports.
Board member Greg Kazmierski says funding to manage habitat for wildlife hasn't kept pace with the addition of properties under the state's land purchase program. He says he's drafted a resolution to seek enough money from lawmakers on the legislature's Joint Committee on Finance.
We can't let this get too far ahead to the point that we have a wildlife desert out there because we have been keeping up with the habitat management.
The Department of Natural Resources says funding for habitat management has increased to $11.2 million in the last decade. Large land purchases have met opposition from some Republican lawmakers. A deal to preserve 70,000 acres in northern Wisconsin is under threat of losing money after some legislators objected. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A hearing is set for Monday to decide whether Green Bay can continue using audio recording devices in City Hall during an ongoing court battle. The city says it installed the devices in 3 security cameras due to safety concerns. The devices were first discussed publicly during a city council meeting earlier this month. The state senate sued the city and its mayor over the recordings on Tuesday. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of the state senate, Republican State Senator Andre Jacques, a former city council member, and an unnamed Jane Doe. This suit argues the city's use of audio devices is illegal. Green Bay has declined to comment on the lawsuit, but city attorney Joanne Bungert told WPR last week recordings would only be reviewed in the case of an emergency or accident.
We feel that what we are doing is supported under the law.
An attorney for the state senate asked the court to prevent the city from using the audio devices while litigation plays out. The debate around Green Bay's use of audio devices comes as Mayor Eric Genrich seeks re-election. Coming up after the break, WPR reporter Evan Casey has a story about how Wisconsin's Menominee Indian tribe is trying to fight the highest opioid death rate in the state. We'll be right back.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
Opioid overdose deaths are increasing across Wisconsin, and the Menominee Indian tribe has the highest rate of deaths. But tribal leaders are working on new approaches to address the issue. Evan Casey reports on what the tribe and its 8,500 members are doing to curb the increase.
On the day her first son was born, Lighty Dodge's dad died of a drug overdose. Just 2 years later, her mother died from liver failure, following a battle with alcoholism. Dodge was just 21 years old. She started taking prescription drugs to help deal with the grief. That quickly turned to illegal drugs.
I got really bad on heroin, and then heroin wasn't enough, so then I got really bad on fentanyl, and I got introduced to the wrong people.
Dodge is Native American and a direct descendant of the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin. She battled addiction for years while living on the tribe's Northeast Wisconsin reservation. She was in and out of drug court and treatment centers. But in 2021, she got clean. Today, she's 29 years old and 20 months sober. She says she wants to be there for her children.
Had it not been for them and my family and like the team that I had, I might not have made it, right? Like, this is my first time actually trying to get sober, right? Going to treatment, doing the things that I needed to do, and really setting, like, the foundation for my recovery to build.
Unfortunately, Dodge's story of addiction is not unique to her. National stats show Native Americans experience higher overdose death rates than other racial and ethnic groups. Overdoses among all races soared during the COVID-19 pandemic, and they haven't declined yet. Many of the deaths involve fentanyl, a drug 80 to 100 times stronger than morphine. That's something Wisconsin's Menominee Indian tribe is trying to fight. Menominee County has the highest overdose death rate in the entire state. Last year, the tribe saw a record 16 overdose deaths. On a sunny Monday in January, a group of tribal officials gathered in the reservation's community center for a meeting of its new drug intervention team.
Welcome, everybody. We're gonna go ahead and get going with our drug intervention team meeting here.
Police Chief Keith Turtelot is on the team. He says the issue is so bad, his officers are getting burned out from all the calls they're going to.
It's a common situation that we go from one overdose to the next.
The chief says police regularly give out the overdose reversal medication, Narcan.
But we need to make sure that we can get to them and get them into treatment and get them help, and that's what this whole organization is about.
The team is working to coordinate efforts with law enforcement, as well as to increase prevention and treatment efforts on the reservation. They're also working to get more recovery coaches. They'll be available through a 24/7 hotline. Addie Caldwell is a member of the team and the director of the Manisakio Wellness Center. She envisions the coaches as the initial contact for someone who is seeking to get clean.
They're our first stop. They're the first person that's going to meet with someone to figure out where that person is at, what that person needs, and then kind of tailor what they are doing to fit what that person needs.
In a phone conversation, Caldwell said the issue often starts at home.
You know, we have multiple generations sometimes in one household, and if one person is struggling with addiction, that potentially is being seen by, you know, younger kids.
Today, Lighty Dodge is living in Shawano and working as a recovery coach for others who also want to get clean. She has five boys and a six-month-old daughter. She says she's encouraged by the work the tribe is doing. She's now attending meetings of the intervention team.
I want to show people, right? It is possible. It's possible to do it, like, to get through probation, get through recovery, to do these things and get turn your life around and really do it, right? And not just say you're doing it.
Tribal leaders are making progress on many of the new initiatives they started to discuss last year. Just 2 weeks ago, many of the new recovery coaches met for the first time. They're hoping to make an immediate impact. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. And you can always find more news anytime at WPR.org. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.